Good morning. This morning's scripture is from Matthew 3:13-17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw God's Spirit descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from the heavens said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." This is a reading.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. About 5 years ago, when I was just filling pulpits on Sunday mornings, and when I didn't have anywhere to go, the church that I always went to was East Liberty Presbyterian Church. I was a faithful member of one of the adult Sunday school classes there, but I didn't know a lot of people, but I did know about Anne. Okay, everybody had a story about Anne. A nice story. I mean, they loved Anne. They still do. I knew that she taught another adult Sunday school class. And the other thing that I'd heard about her was that she really had the gift of persuasion. She was the person you definitely wanted on the nominating committee. She was the person who could sell a ketchup popsicle to a woman wearing white gloves. You know what I'm saying? Maybe you're one of those people. Maybe you know somebody like that. And so she called me one day, and as soon as I picked up the phone and found that it was this Anne from East Liberty, I knew that probably by the end of the conversation, I'd be saying yes to whatever she was going to ask. That was expected. And fortunately, all she wanted me to do was speak 1 week to her Sunday school class about what it was like to be a chaplain at a personal care home. Just like expected, I said yes, and it was quite the honor. But what happened next in the conversation was not expected. Because I think Anne was a little unhappy that she didn't know who I was exactly. And so she started asking questions. She said, "You know, I don't know you, but I've heard about you from others. Ing is your name, right?" I said, "Oh yeah, that's my name. It's Ingrid, but everybody calls me Ing." And she was quiet, and then there was this relieved sound, and she said, "Oh, I know you. You are Bill Ang's wife." "I'm not." I said, "No, I'm not actually." But she just went on, and she said, "Yes, I know you. You're married to Bill. He's the guy who's always at the shelter on Sunday mornings with Cooperative Ministry. Oh, I know. I can picture you right now. I don't think we've introduced, but I've seen you." And I said, "No, you know what? My name's Ingrid Caulfield." No, I know you. I thought I would know you. You know, Bill, he is a great man. And how does he get up every Sunday like that? Do you go with him?" I didn't know what to say at this point. And she said, "Yes, I knew it was you. So then that's great. It'll be the second Sunday in April, 9:45. And say hi to Bill for me. Have him come to class too." And after we hung up, I have to say there was a more than a small part of me that was thinking, maybe I am Bill Ang's wife. I don't know. I because some voices are so persuasive, and it might be the speaker's eloquence. Sometimes it's even just their accent. I mean, if somebody has a great Irish accent and reads to me the phone book, I think that's poetry. And so I wonder, we won't know until we get there, but have you ever wondered what the voice of Jesus was like? I mean, it could have been like Foghorn Leghorn or Elmer Fudd, but for me, I guess I've always assumed it's a rich, full, tender, gentle, like a Morgan Freeman, I guess. Calm, confident, but warm and assuring. Now, last week, if you attended any church that follows the common lectionary, the story came that Jesus was 2 years old. But this week, the lectionary brings us forward decades. Jesus is an adult, and this is his baptism. He and his cousin John, all grown up. John's fully working now. And John's out on the job, and he's down at the Jordan River. And there's perhaps a line of people, all of these people who have a desire to be cleansed from their sins, their wrongdoings. There they are, sinners in line. And here comes Jesus. And he takes his place in line. And when he gets to John, I imagine John gave a double take because we know what Lynn read. He says, Jesus, what? This is a purification ritual. John knows that Jesus doesn't need to be made pure. It doesn't make any sense. It's like Mr. Rogers going to anger management. Jesus, you're mistaken. You should be baptizing me. I can't baptize you. You don't need to be here. But Jesus, in a persuasive way, might have said more, but he says, no, you need to baptize me, John. This is the righteous path. And so John, persuaded, didn't hesitate. He baptized him. And if John still had a little misgiving about whether this was right or not, he must have been blown away by what happened next. Because as the story tells it, like Lynn read for us, the heavens open, the Spirit descends like a dove, a voice proclaims, this is my Son, the Beloved. I am well pleased. And I wonder what the voice of God sounds like. For me, just a little bit scarier, a little bit more authoritative, maybe like Dame Judi Dench or James Earl Jones. But Matthew's gospel tells us that this heavenly voice spoke to those around Jesus, saying, right here, this is my Son. I am well pleased with him. Now, the thing is that the three Gospels, the synoptic ones, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all have some story about this event, and they have differences. Each one has something that we can learn from. For example, in Luke's story, God is speaking right to Jesus. He says, you are my Son. And it might seem like a little thing, but I want to highlight this difference here this week, because the voice from above speaks directly to the crowd, speaks to you and to me. This is my Son, and he is beloved, and I am pleased with him. Is that significant? Is that a big deal? I think it is. Because at this point in Jesus's life, he hasn't done a heck of a lot that was ink-worthy. We don't have any stories about him healing anybody or telling a story even or standing up to empire. He hasn't driven out any demons. You know, look at his cousin. His cousin's already been working. There's been stories written down and passed down about him. Jesus hasn't really done anything yet notable, and yet God is already pleased with him, and he is beloved. Now, there might have been other voices in Jesus' ear comparing the cousins. Look at John. He's out there. He's working. Why can't you be more like your cousin? They might have been telling him that he needed to do something to gain their favor or achieve something to be worthy of love. But God says, not true. My Son is beloved now. And so if we who are baptized into Christ, God is saying the same thing over us. Lee, you are my beloved. Patty, with you, I am well pleased. Now, I've never heard God's voice speaking out loud, this or anything else. I've never heard God say, you are beloved. But I've heard echoes of it from you, from people who have reminded me of my worth apart from what I do. And I hope, I truly hope and I pray that you have heard those voices too. And that you can forget about those voices that told you weren't enough. And you can forget about those voices that wounded you. And the voices that tried to give you a name that was wrong. And I pray that we can hear those affirming voices and be the voice of God for one another. It's always the right time to repeat what God said at Jesus' baptism and what God has been saying to each of us since the day we were born. You are beloved. You are worthy. And I am well pleased. Now that this is a short passage, but it's a rich one. And so next week, I'd like to do something a little Baptist, maybe a little wacky. I'd like to stray from the lectionary. And we're going to linger just a little longer with this passage and think about another question that it raises. Not what it says about what God says about Jesus, but why did Jesus step into that water at all? Why the beloved chooses to stand right here with all of us. But if we take anything away from today, even if Anne from East Liberty tells you that you are loved by God, you are beloved, you are so pleasing to me, precious one. That is true. But if she tries to tell you that you're Bill Ang's spouse, Bill Ang has a wonderful spouse, and she's very understanding, but I don't think she would appreciate it. So, yeah. Now, as we conclude our service this morning, we are going to get Baptist again. I'm going to issue an invitation that we used to do every week. And so if today is the day that you've made any big decision that you'd like to share, maybe today's the day that you want to learn more about God's great love, or today's the day that you might just need a little extra prayer, or today might be the day that you've decided, you know what, these people at Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church, I want to officially become a member. That would be a first step, a wonderful step in the membership process too. And so I'm going to stand down here and Pastor's going to stand with me, and we're going to sing our closing hymn, verses 1 and 4 of number 297. And we'd love to have you come down and just sing with us, and we'll give you the mic. No, we won't give you the mic. No. Amen.